Good morning. We'll call the February 19th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. This morning, we can amend the agenda, striking executive session and all items under executive session, including possible action on executive session items.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes? Motion carried. We had the minutes of February the 5th. Any corrections, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have several letters. First is from Greater Lewis Community Village. And it was addressed to Mr. Lawson. We wish to thank you and Sussex County Council for a generous donation of $5,750 to enable us to move toward our goal of launching the village later this year. We also have a letter from Cape and Loop and Senior Center. I would like to thank Sussex County Council for the Human Service Grant Award in the amount of $5,000. A letter from the town of Del Mar expressing appreciation for the county's continuing funding of local law enforcement. Also from Lewis in Bloom for awarding $3,500 for construction of Children's Learning Garden in Stango Park, Lewis. And that is it, Mr. President.
Correspondence, Council, got correspondence. Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Two items today for the administrator's report. Number one, attached, please find the call statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for January 2013. There were 13,554 total calls handled in the month of January. Of those 911 calls, 73% were made from wireless phones. And second, this Thursday, February 21st, Sussex County will hold a meeting to discuss the proposed Woodland Park west of Seaford. The workshop will provide the public an opportunity to review initial design plans for the park and submit feedback for final design. The meeting will be held at 7 p.m. at the Nanticoke Senior Center at 1001 West Locust Street in Seaford. The public is encouraged to attend. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Susan Webb.
Thank you. I have two things on the agenda today. We'll start with the investment portfolio analysis. In October of last year, Mr. Dominic Duramo from Wilmington Trust and Mr. Nick Adams from Wilmington Trust was here to walk us through a fixed income investment management approach with our excess funds and some options that we had. We developed a fixed asset portfolio, and it's time to take a look at our first quarter report to see how we've done. And Mr. Duramo, if you would like to present, he's going to talk about the investment highlights in general in a broad sense, and then our Sussex County Reserve liquidity account narrowing down to Sussex County. As you remember, we amended our investment policy to reflect the current market so we could try to gain a higher rate of return on our funds with minimal risk, as well as take advantage of having our pooled cash approach now. So I'm pleased with the results, and I think you will be too.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity today to share a little bit of some thoughts on the market. We'll begin there, and I know Mrs. Webb has a number of presentations there. Mm-hmm. The first portion of the presentation, and I'll leave that for quiet evening at home for you to read, but just a number of pages about the marketplace. We'll talk about some highlights, but then we'll turn over to tab one and speak specifically to the portfolio. As we look back at the quarter, I think what one could describe the economy as one that's healing, albeit not quite the pace that the Federal Reserve and Chairman Bernanke would like to see. There's been a tremendous amount of accommodation that has been put towards the marketplace, both at a monetary level and at a fiscal level. But the Federal Reserve remains committed towards providing a very accommodative environment. And when we say accommodative environment, they are buying roughly about $85 billion a month in securities in the open marketplace. And that includes treasuries, agencies, and mortgage-backed securities. The idea there is to continue to foster growth within the housing market, continue to drive the unemployment rate down, and they have a targeted unemployment rate of 6.5%, is which they wish to see, and also the other mandate of having a level of inflation of roughly around 2% as a target level. If we look at what the Federal Reserve has engineered, they've engineered an environment where the very short end of the yield curve is basically earning us zero. And that's what brought us here in October, to illustrate other alternatives to be able to move out on the yield curve and basically begin to bucket the county's dollars in order to earn a little bit more income along that yield curve. The Federal Reserve is committed to this $85 billion a month. And when we look back in time, just to put a data point, in a normal operating environment, ideally, hopefully, we can get back to that normal operating environment one day, is that they had a balance sheet of somewhere between $600 and $800 billion. At the target that they are currently buying at $85 billion a month, we could potentially be at $4 trillion come year end of 2013. And that poses other issues as we move forward from a balance sheet perspective and the size of it. But nonetheless, you can see the degree to which they're committed to continue to provide liquidity into the marketplace to spur economic activity. So I'll stop there for a moment and see if you have any questions with respect to the economy before we move towards the portfolio.
Help me understand a little bit about what you just said.
Sure.
The Fed is buying.
Correct.
Investing. All right. The Fed is doing that to make it available to lenders?
Well, ideally, they are injecting dollars into the system.
Uh-huh.
And by injecting more monies into the system, lowering the overall cost of funds so that borrowers, whether at the institutional level or the commercial level or the individual level, can borrow dollars, capital cheaply, and then reinvest in their particular business.
Yeah. How do they pay for it?
They operate through their own balance sheet. So in essence, printing money.
They print money, yeah.
Correct.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're looking at inflation then, I guess.
Those are the items that as we go forward in time, that is the fear. So as you continue to grow this balance sheet, what are some of the potential negatives out there are inflation. At this point, the Federal Reserve has felt quite comfortable to the degree where inflation lies, slightly below 2%. And if you look at the components of inflation, the one item that really drives inflation to be more or less sticky, we'll call it, is wage inflation. And wage inflation has been non-existent. Turning to the portfolio, and we'll turn to tab one. As Mrs. Webb mentioned, we met in October. We presented a theoretical portfolio where we would take additional dollars or liquidity dollars and move a little bit out on the yield curve. The portfolio is constructed with government agencies, and that includes Fannie, Freddie, Farm Credit, and Federal Home Loan Bank. That allows us to take advantage of some of the yield curve and the steepness of the yield curve, and also to dovetail and construct the portfolio relative to the liquidity needs of the county. The guidelines were constructed accordingly, and we began this process in October, mid-October. From mid-October through early November, the portfolio was completely constructed, and at this time, if you can see the exact holdings, the portfolio, as if you look at the third page, has a weighted average yield of 76 basis points, and is providing an estimated annual income of just under $530,000 on an annual basis. It has a weighted average maturity of 4 years, but you can see it's a well-constructed laddered portfolio, again, to meet the needs of the county in terms of liquidity. And as we move forward, one thing that I want everyone to keep in mind is, although it's laddered today, the portfolio was constructed foremost around safety of principal, providing the liquidity. And then as the yield curve changes and shifts, you know, our next purchase or our next reinvestment, depending on maturities or coupon payments, may not necessarily be on the longer end of the yield curve. It'll all be dependent upon where the shift of the yield curve is and our outlook towards the economy.
And just to add something, if we had not done this and we had kept those funds in our money market at 0.15, we would have made $100,000. So you can see the difference of the investment return versus the risk. And these, if you can speak to any kind of risk level for U.S. agencies as well, because this is going to dovetail into my next segment as well. But it is the county's money. It's a lot of money, and it is different. But we're not taking on any it's U.S. treasuries or U.S. agencies. And if you could speak to that risk.
Sure thing. These are all government agencies, so there are U.S. treasuries and other securities of the U.S. government that are explicitly guaranteed. Agencies are not explicitly guaranteed. They're implicitly supported by the U.S. government. They are significant to the economic recovery that we are in the midst of. Fannie and Freddie are significant to the housing market, home loan to lending, and farm credit to the farming industry. All of these play critical roles, and the government is there to support that as well.
Just wanted to make sure that you knew it was not in the stock market, which we covered, or in corporate bonds or anything like that, but keeping with our conservative, we just took the next step going into the out of the deposit accounts with banks into the U.S. agencies for the investment. And
like Fannie and Freddie?
Fannie, Freddie.
I thought they were in trouble. I mean, did the government bail them out too?
The government has basically put them on a lifeline. So essentially they are U.S. treasuries. So they're being supported completely by the U.S. government.
Yeah. From our angle, it's a little bit different perspective. We are the investor, so.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Rather than from the government's angle, it's
right.
Any questions? That was just for every quarter we'll be bringing it in, and taking a look at it, see where it's at. Look, and Mr. DeRamo will be here to talk about, because it's important. It's a
yes.
lot of money, and it's we're going to keep right on top of it. Thank you.
I apologize if I missed it. What is our percentage?
What are we doing now?
Return?
Our percentage of return?
Yeah.
Is that the 0.764?
Correct.
Yeah.
So on the last page in the bottom right.
I think so.
And that's all our holdings, you can see.
I look for it.
And it would have been, otherwise it would have been
0.15.
0.15. Well, that's a big improvement then, isn't it?
Is it a big improvement?
I think you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
Oh, no.
If I understood you correctly,
yes.
We were at 0.15, now we're at 0.76.
Mm-hmm.
We would have earned $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
We earned $529,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
On an annual basis.
On an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. You've seen our financial statements over the last, since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Our
yes.
investment policy was
right.
Laddered CDs, which the market was very well. We have had investment income of $4 million at some times of just deposit accounts. It's just not there. It's just not happening.
Yeah, time to move it.
I guess it's because of the lag that I'm a little surprised it's so low. I would guess in the second quarter we did a lot better.
Well, are you talking about the stock market or the these kind of investments?
Overall market, I think.
It's all.
What it means.
The market was up. This is our first quarter, so we're going from October, November, December, and I think you threw in January because we're
correct. So this is an annualized return. And if you go back to what Fed policy currently lies, is 0 to 25 basis points. And that is dictating essentially the complete yield curve.
But isn't it true that when the market is on an uptick for equities, that the bonds go down because everybody goes to the equities? And so there's your...
Your traditional theory is that there's an exchange between risk assets and risk-free assets. So as the equity market... continues to move forward as, a forward-looking structure of the economy. That has done quite well. We are in a totally different sector.
Right.
This is a, riskless structured portfolio where you're taking advantage of matching your liquidity needs a little bit further out on the yield curve. And this is really dictated by Fed policy.
Mm-hmm. Very conservative.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But then again, we get a little bit more of an interest rate. So I think that's where we wanted to,
exactly.
wanted to step slowly out of the box.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Now this is going to be
two-thirds, 67.
A lesson 67, for
two-thirds.
Everyone. Collateral policy. As you can see,
and three-quarters.
We changed with our deposit accounts with the banks. So all our deposit accounts are collateralized. That means that the public deposits are backed by the banks with U.S. Treasuries, and that's what our collateral policy is, that their deposits are backed at 102% of what's in the deposit accounts. And this is essential. Every government does it. We follow the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association, of best practices and recommendations for a collateral policy. We have had a couple of our banks asking us to give us them some options of allowing us to change our collateral policy. It was all U.S. direct obligations, which are treasuries and Ginnie Minis. And a couple of the banks have asked that we include in that as options to allow them to have options, to include the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York and possibly some other options like Freddie and Fannie Mae. I sent a letter in the packet that describes a little bit more about the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. Their letters of credit. They have a AAA credit rating according to Moody's Investor Service, and they're judged to be the best quality and carry the smallest degree of investment risk. The state of Delaware and most municipalities also use these letters of credit as collateral options. The Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation is a government-sponsored entity, commonly called a government agency, like what our investment policy invests in. This is, though, unlike U.S. Treasuries and Ginnie Mae's issued by the government National Mortgage Association, which are direct obligations of the U.S. government and backed by their full faith and credit. Now, what I'm asking and recommending is that we may substitute this kind of collateral to our banks as options to them to provide collateral to us for our deposit accounts. It's the 102% deposit accounts that we have backed by collateral. And I don't know if Mr. Geramo would be here for any questions. We talked about the difference in the securities of U.S. Treasuries and Ginnie Mae's versus the Federal Home Loan Bank and Freddie and Fannie. Can you speak a little bit on the Federal Home Loan Bank? Because that's the main one that seems to be popping up. We have had another bank request where we do have some funds. We have staggered CDs in that bank, and they are not interested in rebidding the CDs if we do not open up the collateral a little bit to allow them for more options. Collateral is very expensive to a bank, I believe, and if they've got to buy it and then pay us a return, and if that margin's not where it needs to be for them, they won't provide collateral because they just don't need the deposit money, and it's just different. So this gives us some more options. Like I said, the state of Delaware does have it in their policy, and I think you can speak for some other municipalities.
And I think Ms. Webb spoke exactly on the point there, is that all institutions, financial institutions, you look at their investment portfolio, held a lot of treasuries in the past. Treasuries have gotten very expensive. They begin to move out in other sorts of collateral that they hold, but then those issues are used as collateral for deposits. So institutions are acquiring more agencies and holding more agencies, and the need to utilize those holdings relative to deposits is basically what's being asked. From a risk perspective, it is exactly what you're holding in the portfolio today. So from a collateral perspective, it would be no different.
So that would be a change in our collateral policy. Again,
if you have a choice, really.
Well, that's kind of what, as I'm presenting. Yes, we always do have a choice,
yeah,
because we can keep these assets completely with U.S. direct obligations,
mm-hmm,
and that just tightens them into the deposit accounts. I think it is a good idea that we have some investment that are in staggered CDs outside of our operating account and outside of our investment account. And, it's kind of all your eggs are not in one basket approach a little bit. We've been slow to move. We're probably slower than a lot of other municipalities. But I think this is the trend, and I think it's safe. I mean, they're, like we talked about, the agencies versus the direct obligations.
So the benefit is it gives us more flexibility in what you're saying.
Right. It gives us more flexibility if we were able to invest in some certificate of deposit.
Okay.
It gives a little bit more interest than the money market account,
mm-hmm,
not as much as the investment account, but then we're, our eggs are not in all one basket.
Right. More, yeah, very varied.
But I would have to do a motion to actually change the policy, as the policy states our collateral is very clear, direct obligations of the U.S. government. So
okay.
I would like to include direct obligations and agencies, which would include all the other agencies.
Which are also backed up by the U.S. or sponsored by the U.S. government.
Correct.
That's the word you use.
Explicit, implicit.
That's the word you use, sponsored.
Yeah. And so I think GSEs, we saw that they did come out in a couple years ago when that was questionable, when banks were having problems and such, that they did come out and say, we will support the government agencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, that's
any
nice.
More questions, Mrs. Webb? Do you have a motion?
I do.
Ma'am?
If this wasn't callable, could we get a little more money?
Excuse me? This wasn't what?
If this wasn't callable. Now, some are non-callable, some are callable. Can we get more money by having non-callable?
That's a good question for you.
Actually, it's the exact opposite. Having a call structure within the agency provides us a little more income today.
Because the non-callable, you're saying, are callable?
The callable structures are cheaper than the non-callable.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. So we're earning additional income through a call structure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council amends its collateral policy within the investment policy to include government agencies as an acceptable form of collateral.
So move.
Motion, second. Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, good job.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the recommendation, yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you,
ma'am.
Thank
you for supporting that. I know that was a lot to take in, but it's not
ma'am,
normal.
And
thank you, Wilmington Trust, for presenting.
We will move down the agenda to the 10:30 public hearing. That clock says 10:30, so Mr. Whaley and crew, step on up here. And we'll have a public hearing for community development block grants.
Good morning, Council. I'd like to thank you for allowing us to hold a public hearing for the Community Development Block Grant request for the 2013 fiscal year. The main reason that we hold the public hearing is so the citizens can have an opportunity to participate in the application that we're preparing to turn into the Housing Authority for funding in the current year. I've got a presentation. It might just take a minute.
Does it go by district? I want to make sure my district's well taken care of.
We're trying to help as many as we can.
Yes, George. George has corrected me. George, yes,
George.
We do have a definite need. Part of the public hearing is that we give a status on the current year, the 2012 fiscal year. So I've got Mike Jones from my office, and he's going to discuss that. So Mike handles over 100 housing rehab projects a year for the county, so he's very busy. So, Mike, can you?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
To start off with is we'd like to look back on what we'd gotten last year as far as our funding, and I received over $1,159,790 last year in our funding. And some of the areas they funded us in, some of the towns and stuff, this funding through CDBG program and the home program. Our towns are Bridgeville, Milton, Subville, and our targeted areas are the Cool Spring area, Coverdale Crossroads, and Mount Joy. Also, we have scattered sites, we do, and we have scattered hookups, we also do. We use that money for. As far as this year, we probably have received over 75% of our jobs are under contract or have been finished already, and the other ones will soon be within the stream of getting the jobs done. I'd like to take this time to thank the council for what you have spoken in the last few weeks about helping us with some more money for some more emergency funds. Being the one that goes out into the field all the time and sees the homeowners face to face, I let them know where this money comes from. You know, I let them know that it comes, addressly comes from the Housing Authority, but also it's from our council allowing us to do what we do. And because knowing of other states, other agencies, and other places that take this same money and go into infrastructure projects, more sidewalks and street lights and fire hydrants, that type thing. And you guys could easily do the same thing if you wanted to, but you chose to help out the low-income housing in our area. Because the economy has been for the last few years, we all know, it has been a weak time, and people have had a rough time doing the repairs on their homes. They needed to be able to stay in their homes. Basically, Brad has spoken many times to you guys about the snow we had a couple years ago, and it weakened our roofs tremendously, and we're still seeing the recourse from that we never knew that it was that bad until we now. And that's a lot of the money you just guys have just handed down to us to use. We're going to try to take that and try to correct some of them problems. Clyde, like we know, no matter what problem you have in your house, if the roof is going bad in your house, the rest of them sort of fade away. If you don't fix the roof, the rest of them are, you know, insignificant. Like Brad was saying, over 150 homes we've done this year with hookups and everything, and I've been very busy. The weather's not been too helpful lately. I brought some slides today just to show it's a little different than we've done in the past, and just because we help a certain individual in a town or on a street or whatever, it's the community that we help. Because so many times that family, and nobody may not know it, but that family has had a hard time making ends meet until we see on the slide a few things show up on the outside of their house, which affects the community.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we can help that person in that community, it helps bring that community together.
It does.
So if we could go to the slides, Brandy, and help that. This is right in the town of Laurel, where there's a blue tarp on a roof, and how many times we ride by and see that somewhere. But this is in the town where it's the one house in that area that has that. And, of course, the whole roof is bad, but the tarp sort of shows up. And we would get done with it. This is what we showed up with at the end. So it didn't just help this person or this family. It helped the community that we were in. And then the next one is another part of Laurel, but this is the sort of same thing. Every house around this house was fairly good shape, except this one here. And if I had got around to the front a little further, the porch is just about to fall off of this house, which was a bad eyesore. And we got done with it. We brought it up to this.
Wow.
And it was, with not that much money, right, we made just not this home a better home, but it's a better home in the community for the whole area. And the next one, this is in Milton. This is right on 16. I'm sure if you guys go through Milton, you've seen this house a number of times. It's a single mom living here. She's trying to make the best she could. The roof is totally shot, like you see. And we got done with it. We took it to make it a lot better for her. And it makes it so she can live in the home. Makes it so the house is still livable. And this is a house at Delmar that we worked on. This is another single parent. He's a product of the economy where he had a decent job, doing fairly good, and his job got downsized, and he cut less than half his wages. He just couldn't keep the roof, and he couldn't keep it heated. The house was so air going through so bad that he just shut off the couple of rooms to live in, and we insulated the outside of the house, put a new roof on, and we have a slide we'll be finished up with. That's how we got done with that. So it's just certain things we've done, and it's like I said, we say 150 homes is not that much in the big scheme of things, but it's way more than that when you help the area. Just help that home, you help so many other homes around that. And that's what we hope to bring for you guys today, that with what you're doing, with the money you're bringing us, is the amount of people you're really helping. And I stand before you for the people that I see every day, and they thank you. They say thanks for everything you guys do, and we're doing a great job. We really appreciate it in our office. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Over the past 10 years, Sussex County has received over $12 million in community development block grant funding, and we've been able to help over 16 households. The CDBG program has been in existence since 1974. Yearly Congress allocates funding to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. These funds are to be used specifically for housing purposes, which include providing safe, affordable housing and living environments. Also, they provide economic opportunities in several ways. We hire contractors to do the work, and we also track the incomes of the people that work for the contractors. So what they call the Section 3 program, it actually shows that this money helps on both sides. It helps not just the homeowner, but it also helps the people that are working for the contractors that do this work. Now, in order to qualify for our program, a household has to be below 80% of area medium income, and right now that's set by HUD yearly. And for a single household, that's $33,350, and then it goes up about $4,700 per additional person. So a family of four would have to earn less than $47,600. Now, Kent and Sussex counties, we don't have a population large enough to ask for funding directly from HUD. So in our situation, the Housing Authority requests the funding, and it makes it available to the counties and the communities within the counties on a competitive basis. And this year, they're estimating that there should be about $1.65 million to $1.7 million available for projects in Kent and Sussex counties. Can we go to the next slide? I'd like to just explain the numbers here. What you see here, today's meeting represents our 14th public hearing, just so you can understand how we've actually gone to all these communities and met with them, discussed what they would like to apply for, and what you're seeing is exactly what they're applying for. The majority of it is for housing rehabilitation, with the exception of Blades and Bridgeville. They're requesting funding for some demolitions. And then the town of Georgetown is requesting funding for phase two of an infrastructure project. They're doing a street improvement to the middle school. Now the differences in the amounts, you'll see some are 80,000, some are 105, and some are 140. That's representative of the size of waiting list we have in the towns. Probably 12 or under, we asked for $80,000. We kind of set it in three groups. 12 to 20, we asked for 105, and then over 20, we asked for 140. So this is what you're seeing is what the county is requesting on behalf of the towns. And if we can go to the next slide. The next slide represents what the county is requesting for the unincorporated areas and the projects we're hoping to help with. And we come about these numbers in several ways. Nicole Reddick and I, we attend the Strong Communities meetings, which are sponsored by First State Community Action. Dale McDowell, he's on the board of RC&D, which is now part of Milford Housing. Brandy Bennett is a member of the Sussex Housing Group, and Brandy and I go to meetings, and we've discussed our plans in the future with the Sussex Housing Group. We also are required by the CDBG guidelines to have an advisory panel, and quite honestly, we have what I feel is one of the best that there is. We have Pastor Kim Teppelbach from Dagsboro Church of God. We have Sherita Bell, who's a county employee and a Laurel resident, and she's very active in her community. We have Bernice Edwards, who's the executive director of First State Community Action. And last but not least, we have Reverend Claudia Waters, who's been an advocate for housing issues and families in Sussex County for some time. This group brings a great deal of experience and practical knowledge about what the families in Sussex County are facing. And it's an honor to work with this group. And the results of our meetings and our discussions are what you see here. We're naturally applying for scattered site rehabilitation.
Before you change that, I want to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Okay. The second thing is a planning study. HUD has asked us to define and focus our process a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we've kind of had some discussions. We originally thought of another avenue, but with DSHA is kind of recommending that we look into, we've got the strong communities, and we're supposed to do an evaluation and then see what the communities need the most, what they feel that they need the most, and try to bring that together with the CDBG requests. So what we plan to do is meet with the communities, map them out, get the demographics, get surveys, which will allow us to apply for other things specifically. We know that some of the communities are, without a doubt, you know, struggling economically, but we don't have that data. We don't have it proved that we've been to 37 households and 32 of them are low to mod. So that's going to help with that, which is something new. The scattered demolition, Mike and I, we travel in a lot of communities and we see a lot of burnout structures, that sort of thing. This will allow us to take some of them out and just improve the communities by removing these dangerous structures. Scattered emergency rehab, we've had for a couple years now. We use this for a lot of things like heaters and ramps, emergency roofs, as Mike was talking about. Scattered hookups, we do it when the county engineering department does the new sewer districts and towns do new water districts. We apply for that to help with that. The last five are for housing rehabilitations in five rural communities. We've been in these communities before, and we know there's still definitely a need. The reason, there's actually a limit on what one application can be. So the reason I don't ask for 10 communities is because there's a limit of $1,100,000. So what you're seeing there is that. So we basically start with that number and then work backwards to try to assist as many communities as we can. We are in the process of putting our application together. This will result in a 650 to 700-page document that will turn into the Housing Authority. The Housing Authority will then break this document apart. They'll form a review panel, and they'll score and review each project to determine which ones will receive the funding. We currently have 112 homeowners on our countywide waiting list, and we also have another 400 on waiting list for the towns and the rural communities. So there's definitely a need there. And before we open this up to comment, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the council for providing this as a service to both the residents and the communities in Sussex County. I travel to a lot of meetings, and when I go, the town managers, and they know that this is a very valuable program for their program. They all for their residents, and they all know it, and and I'd like to thank you for it. And my very last comment is, as Mike was saying, the county council had given us an additional $150,000, and with the previous allotted funding, this actually is the largest single amount we've ever had to work with in council funding, and we want to thank you for it and promise you that we will put it to good use. Did I have any questions or comments?
Sounds good to me.
If there's no questions from council at this point, is there any member of the public that would like to address this issue, make any comments? Yes, or someone in back, would you come forward, give us your full name and address, please?
Hi, my name's Sandy Spence, and Mr. Vincent, I just had a question, but I felt that I'm not supposed to ask them directly, so maybe you could. I was just curious about, he mentioned that there were a whole lot more people that had applied than they had the funding for. So I was just curious about how they set the priorities of who gets their house fixed compared to all the people that need it. That was all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with the Community Development Block Grant, the federal guidelines are basically first come, first serve. So that's where you'll see our waiting list develop from. With the emergency funding, we have a little bit more flexibility in the county council funding. We try to prioritize the most crucial things. No water, no heat are probably our two very highest priorities. Also, accessibility. We have a lot of families that call who've had a member who's had a medical issue and they can't get in and out of the house or in rehab, and they won't let them go home. So we're actually focusing a little more on that type of thing with that, and then roofs are coming secondary. Some roofs are in worse shape than others, so we try to do the ones that are in the worst shape. That's kind of how we prioritize it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
How many do you have on? We have 112 county people. What about, did you say towns? We have how many people do we have in the towns waiting? 40?
Well, we have 812 on the countywide waiting list. 812.
Boy, I sure missed that one.
Yeah, no, I'm
and
sorry.
How about in
the towns? The towns combined are over 400.
Over 400.
Yeah. And like you said, when we went to that one page that had the Georgetown at 140 and Seaford at 140, they have the larger lists.
I would hope as the economy picks up and new homes get built around here, and it just looks very promising. I hope that we can do better.
Well, we're working towards it. It's a huge issue.
You're doing great. I'm just saying, hope there's more money. We can make more money available. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Does anyone else like to speak on this issue? I see someone standing. Come forward. Give us your full name and address, please.
Brad.
Brad.
Hello, my name is Ken Smith. I'm with the Delaware Housing Coalition. I just wanted to commend you on the good work you're doing with a very little bit of money from the federal government for this kind of need. I did want to mention that in 2007, we did a study of extremely low-income households throughout the state. And those are people earning less than 30% of the median income in the area, and at that time 28,000 households were both extremely low income and cost burdened, and 14,000 of them were homeowners. I don't remember the breakdown for Sussex County, but it's a goodly number of people who just cannot maintain their homes and will not be able to, probably because of fixed income and being elderly and disabled. So those are people who, regardless of what happens with the economy, will still need this program. So thank you for what you're doing with it and for the additional money you've put into it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Anyone else? Mr. Whaley, did you have anything else to add?
Well, I've got our Ms. Brandy Bennett Nolman, she's got a resolution, if the council would like that.
Why, please.
Well, first, before we do the resolution, at this point, we will close the public hearing. There's no one else that has indicated a desire to speak.
We'll close the public hearing, and please read your resolution.
Okay. This is a resolution endorsing projects to be submitted to the Delaware State Housing Authority for funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and authorizing Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, to submit applications. Whereas the Sussex County Council resolves to apply for community development funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority in accordance with appropriate regulations governing community development block grants for the State of Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program, and whereas Sussex County has met the application requirements of Attachment E, Delaware Community Development Block Grant Policies and Procedures, citizen participation requirements, and whereas Sussex County is eligible to submit applications for such grants through the Delaware State Housing Authority, as stated in the fiscal year 2013 Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program Policies and Procedures Manual in the earmarked amount of $1.1 million, and whereas the County Administrator, Todd F. Lawson, is hereby authorized to certify that matching funds in excess of $162,000, which have been identified as supporting its projects as set out within its application, will be made available upon the approval of the projects by the Delaware State Housing Authority. Now, therefore, be it resolved that after holding public reviews and a public hearing on the projects to be included in the application to the Delaware State Housing Authority for Community Development Block Grant Funds, the Sussex County approves the following projects. For municipality applications, Blades Rehab, $80,000, Blades Demo, $15,000, Bridgeville Rehab, $140,000, Bridgeville Demo, $36,000, Delmar Rehab, $105,000, Ellendale Rehab, $80,000, Frankfurt Rehab, $80,000, Greenwood Rehab, $80,000, Georgetown Infrastructure, $103,460. Georgetown Rehab, $105,000. Laurel Rehab, $140,000. Milford Rehab, $140,000. Melton Rehab, $105,000. Seaford Rehab, $140,000. Selbyville Rehab, $140,000. For the county application, we have Scattered Rehab in the amount of $328,000. Scattered Demo, $46,000. The Planning Study for $30,000. Scattered Emergency Rehab, $84,000. Scattered Hookups, $50,000. Cool Spring Rehab, $80,000. Coverdale Rehab, $80,000. Mount Joy Rehab, $80,000. Rural Selbyville Rehab, $80,000. West Rehoboth Rehab, $80,000. And Administrative Funds, $162,000. Be it further resolved by the Sussex County Council that Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, is hereby authorized to submit the above-mentioned projects to the State of Delaware Housing Authority for funding.
Well, I'll make that one.
Motion, Mr. Deaver.
Second,
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion?
I just have one little question. Who was the gentleman who just came up and testified? I didn't get his name.
It's Ken Smith from the Delaware Housing Coalition.
He's from the Delaware Housing Coalition. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried.
I have one more. It's a lot shorter, I promise. It's our fair housing resolution. Whereas the Sussex County Council recognizes the importance of fair housing for the citizens of Sussex County, and whereas the Sussex County Council supports the goals of the federal fair housing law, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council heartily encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, or financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, creed, sex, marital status, familial status, age, sexual orientation, or disability, be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing.
And be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, when acting as administrator of a community block grant, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirmatively further fair housing in connection with applying for the community development block grant funding.
Entertain a motion.
I'll take the motion. I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Sir. Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Yeah. Nice to see
we
you.
Appreciate it very
nice
much.
Nice to see you. Yep.